This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
The Commanders are looking to draft their generational QB next week. Don't forget to think about your next generation. As the exclusive sponsor of Grant and Danny, the law firm of Condori and Murad will guide you and your family in the right direction by helping you draft your will, set up a trust, or create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com and be sure to tell them the show sent you. To score a discount, that's kmlawyers.com. As promised, caller number 10 right now. Call in at 800-636-1067, and you're going to win a pair of tickets to see the great Kevin Hart at DAR Constitution Hall. What a prize. It's his Act by Age tour. Tickets went on sale today at 10 a.m., but you're winning them right now. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com/events, courtesy of Live Nation. Your last chance to win tickets to see Kevin Hart at DAR here on GND is today in an hour and 25 minutes at 5:30. But hopefully you can be caller 10 right now. Beltway Blitz time. Caps, Commanders, Nats, huge DC sports weekend. Let's get after it. The voice of the Nats right here on The Fan is our buddy Dave Jagler. Jag, should be a really fun couple of days at Nationals Park where a bunch of the 2019 World Series heroes are coming home to celebrate the five-year anniversary. 20,000 fans are getting replica rings when they walk into the ballpark tomorrow. Vibes should be high, huh?
Yeah, it's going to be so much fun because this team, obviously, Grant, never had that victory lap in the 2020 season. And by the time, you know, gates open in 2021, a lot of the team was gone elsewhere. And you know, obviously so many guys are still playing now, but the guys who have retired or the few who are still with the organization can be a part of it. And it's, you know, obviously the timing is right with Houston in town. So it should be a fun weekend. I mean, you got to look at the rings. They're pretty cool. So we're going to be cycling guests in and out of the booth Saturday and Sunday. So it'll be great to visit with guys like Howie Kendrick and Adam Eaton and Brian Dozier, you know, guys who are key players in that run in 2019.
Yeah, I saw one of the rings. They sent one over here to the radio station. Not only do they look beautiful,
they look amazing.
They are heavy. I mean, that's a really, really nice replica version of a ring.
So get here early. You're right. 20,000. Let's go.
Jags, and by the way, Houston's in town, and it's a shame they're 6-14 on the season. It's not like I monitor it every day and root against them. But this is, you know, the Nats coming off a nice little road trip here, but I want you to go back to that Houston series. Besides me eating more than you've ever seen anyone eat in game number two because I was nervous, besides that, what's a memory from that run or that World Series where you kind of went, I can't believe what I just saw?
I mean, probably just that the whole way game seven played out. I mean, we were obviously, it seemed like AJ Hinch had the script of what he wanted to do. And Zach Greinke kind of messed that script up by pitching so well. And I remember, you know, after Rendon hit the homer to cut it to 2-1 and Soto drew a walk, I mean, just being delighted and thrilled that they took Greinke out of the game because, you know, Greinke over his whole career had dominated the Nationals with every team that he pitched for. And in that game, you recall, they couldn't even get the ball past him. Like, I think he started a couple of double plays and he handled like four or five chances. I mean, literally couldn't get the ball past the pitcher's mound. And it was almost like a sigh of relief that they finally took him out. Okay, now let's let the offense go to work. And, you know, Kendrick hits the foul pole and, you know, Gerrit Cole was warming up, but never came into the game. And they paraded relievers through over the next two innings. The Nationals tacked on one in the eighth and two in the ninth. And when Eaton got that hit to really bust it open, you're like, oh my God, this is going to happen. And this is fine. This is real. And the bottom of the ninth just went by so fast with what Daniel Hudson did as far as retiring the side in order. So just kind of when they took Greinke out, being elated and having that feeling proven to be correct because of how the rest of the game played out.
Mackenzie Gore on the bump for the Nats against Justin Verlander tonight. Gore is sporting a 2.81 ERA. He has not been as much a victim as Jake Irvin of Davey Martinez's inability to let these guys go deep. But I am looking forward to taking the leash off the young arms a little bit and let them stretch their legs some and pitch deeper into games. Do you think we're getting closer to that?
I hope so. I mean, I think they're looking at this as a six-month season, and you know, whatever they, you know, they may say the reins are off, but you know, Irvin's a couple years removed from Tommy John surgery, and you know, Gore and he were both kind of quasi shut down at the end of last season. So I think they're trying to save some bullets for the end of the season. I mean, I think the one issue with Gore, as awesome as he has been, is just the high pitch count. Even his last start, when he punched down 11 in five innings, you know, he was up 90 to 95 pitches, and so they didn't let him start the sixth. Irvin, the last two starts, has been through six in the mid-70s, so you'd like to think that he's going to get the chance here real soon to pitch into the seventh, and ultimately, if he's at that low a pitch count rate, into the eighth. But right now, those two have been great. I look forward to seeing what Gore can do against this Astros lineup, because he has been electric to start the season. He was kind of my guy to take the step forward this year, but I think Jake Irvin's right there with him. So both have been off to very nice starts.
Jack, speaking of electric, I think we're in now, he's a star, like right now, this minute territory with CJ Abrams.
Yeah, we are, aren't we? I mean, when he hits home runs, they're not cheapy. I mean, he, you know, that first year when he came up after the trade, kind of felt like the bat was getting knocked out of his hands. He's gotten stronger. He's feeling it at the plate. And, you know, unfortunately for him, it's cutting into his stolen bases because he's hitting so many extra base hits. I mean, he's hitting doubles, triples, and homers. So he has been a huge threat and right now playing like an all-star.
OPS over 1,000, average at 295, already has five homers about every 12 at-bats. He's going deep. Hit a home run over every 30 at-bats at a time last year. Jax, thank you, buddy. We will see you at the ballpark this weekend.
All right, see you guys.
See you, Jax.
Dave Jagler, Charlie Slows on the call of Nats baseball tonight, 6:45, first pitch right here on The Fan. Next stop, hockey. The Caps, the Rangers, game one of a best of seven at Madison Square Garden in New York. Sunday at 3 o'clock, you will hear John Walton on the call on our network of stations this weekend. So, John, why don't we begin with an injury update? Rasmus Sandin plays 21 minutes a night on the blue line. Nick Jensen about 19 minutes a night. The Caps finished the season without both guys, but they have been skating. Is there a chance one or both play in game one?
Yeah, I think in hearing what Spencer Carberry had to say about that, I think there is a possibility. That's the word that keeps getting tossed around. But just the sense that you get as you see them skating ahead of practice right now is they're going to get in. I don't know if it's game one or not, but I think at some point very soon in the series, not just one of them, but I would think both of them would be back in there. And obviously, if you're going to beat the Rangers, if you're going to beat the President's Trophy winners, you're going to need all the defense you can get to hold off those offensive weapons. So I think there's certainly a sense of optimism. I hope that it's Sunday, but if not, I don't think you're going to have to get too far in the series until you start to get a little bit of help back there.
John, this Rangers team is complete. They're really, really good. But, you know, I'm almost saying so what here, right? Just because of how the Caps have gotten here, it defies so many different explanations. And this feels fun. This feels like a pressure-free type thing for them. I know it's the playoffs, and there's always pressure. But this is, you know, on paper, you throw that paper out. I mean, right? I mean, this feels like a David versus Goliath situation, and the Caps are pretty free.
That sounded like, sorry, John, I'm just jumping in. That sounded like the Calipari quote, the team, there is no team.
Yeah, I've talked to the
on
team.
On paper,
there's
you
no
throw
team.
That paper out.
Right?
On paper,
yeah,
you throw that paper.
There's no, on paper,
like
there's no piece of paper, John. Comment.
Yeah, on the paper, yes. No piece of paper. Thank you. I really like that, and I think that's true. And I think that when you look at the Rangers, keep in mind, yeah, okay, they won the President's Trophy, fine. But and they're a good team, and there's weapons, and you've got a goalie that again, has some playoff experience, but there's not a lot of playoff experience on the other side. This team got knocked out in the first round by New Jersey last year. This was not easy for them. So if you are Charlie Lindgren and you go in on Sunday and you beat these guys in game one, there's going to be a lot of puckering up going on the other side. The Capitals, you're exactly right. This is house money. This is fun. I think that's exactly the way that we're looking at it. I think the fans are looking at it. I think Spencer Carberry might have a slightly different view of that just because, you know, you're game planning and there's a lot of, you don't want to make this, as he said today to us, you know, you don't want to waste this opportunity. He said he enjoyed it. And getting into the playoffs for the, you know, the 2-hour ride home on the train from Philadelphia. After that, is you don't want to squander this. And I get that. But I think when you look at, listen, there is nobody in the hockey world that thought the Capitals were going to be in this playoff. And here they are. And they've done it with a goalie that was tied for the league lead in shutouts. And if you get down in a series and you get frustrated and suddenly he only gets stronger. Listen, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I am saying that they're going to win a couple games in this series. And if it comes in the right sequence, like, oh, I don't know, game one on Sunday, then you start turning around going, oh, boy, wait a minute. What if suddenly Panarin can't score against Charlie? And all of a sudden they're getting 40, 45 shots, but they're not going in, and the Capitals get just enough offense. They've been playing offensive, or they've been playing playoff hockey, the Caps now, for a month. They're used to playing 2-1, 3-2 games. So I completely agree with all of that. I think that this is exactly what you want to be. If you're the Capitals coming into this series, you say, hey, listen, we're going to hang it all out there and we'll see where the chips fall.
You mentioned Chucky Brickwalls. His brother, Ryan Lindgren, is on the Rangers. One of my favorite storylines of this series, 4 years younger, his brother, playing on the enemy. But I think my favorite angle for the series is the LaViolette rematch. There's a lot of kids on this team whose development, in my opinion, was stagnated or just didn't get a lot of run, who are now not only playing but critical role players for this team, top liners for this team. I cannot wait for that dynamic.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something to that. I mean, if you're – and again, like if you're Connor McMichael specifically, you probably say, okay, you know what? I scored 18 goals this year. I think in fairness even to Lavi, I would say that Connor's development was sped along by what happened in Hershey last spring. And at the time, you know, maybe he wasn't quite ready for it. And I'm not even sure that he was wrong about it, but I do think that when you look at, yeah, this is Connor McMichael's chance to jump up and say, hey, listen, you know what? Remember you didn't think I could play here, you know, those kind of things. There might be a little bit of that. Sure. But talking about Ryan Lindgren, I loved it. I talked with Charlie yesterday and he's deadly serious when he said, you know, hey, did you text your brother? He said, yeah, you know, we texted. We said, they're like, we'll talk to you after the series. He's like, listen, this is all about the Washington Capitals. Are you going to go to dinner with him before it? Absolutely not. He's not going to go to dinner with him Saturday night in New York. He is completely focused on the task at hand, and he wants nothing more. This is a lifetime in the Lindgren family. This is going to be when they're in the old folks' home all the way down the line. Say, remember when I beat you when I was the 8 seed and you were the one? Yeah, that's what,
yeah,
that's what they're going to be talking about. So there's a lot on the line there, and that to me is the most intriguing.
Well, John, cannot wait for the series to start on Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock MSG. Call a win.
You bet, fellas. Now there's a house money and having fun here.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We appreciate you. There's John Walton. By the way, our Caps playoff coverage here on The Fan is sponsored by our friends at PVI Office Furniture. Get to their showroom in Frederick, Maryland today to score big with their Power Play playoff special. 20% off your new office chair. Fast, excellent, affordable. Business grows with PVI. Let's talk football.
Hit that local 53 sounder. There it is, our guy Nick Ashew, BetMGM tonight. All right, Nick, here we go. No whammies on the cell phone, no whammies. Here we go. Do you care about Jaden Daniels' agent Emoji Gate? And then Adam Schefter saying today, like, he actually kind of prefers other cities. See, up to Commanders forgot what they want to do. Peace out. Do you care about any of that?
First off, the impression is great. Well done, but most of your impressions tend to be. So
you're sweet.
Well done there. I don't care. No, not at all. Because in the end, this organization is totally different than what it was. And yeah, you could say maybe he prefers other cities. That's an agent getting all bitter because he doesn't like the situation. He wants his client to be getting, you know, wined and dined all by himself. I kind of like the idea when they had everybody out there, you know, all the different quarterbacks. And you see him interacting. And all you're really doing, too, like, you know how this is. This is the time of year where it's the last stretch of lying season. Every team is putting out just a little bit of what they can, just some feelers. Just to see if somebody will come in with like a Ricky Williams type deal where we'll give you our entire draft for that one pick. It's not going to happen, but it's worth at least giving it a shot throwing out a bunch of smoke screens if you can and confusing people. I think it's still likely Jaden Daniels is the pick, but I mean, listen, we've been going back and forth on Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and there's different reports and different people saying different things. And at one minute, Adam Peters has loved Drake May for years since he was in San Francisco, and then it's no, it's Jaden Daniels. So it's one of those, everything is just all over the place and scrambled this close to the actual draft.
I don't want my quarterback's agent being somebody I have to deal with based on their social media proclivities. I don't think that's a hot take. Where are you at on that?
Now, I will say that is true. But I think once his client gets drafted, he's probably going to shut his mouth.
But why is that different? Your client's got millions of dollars on the line in a week and you're popping off.
Yeah, but like how many millions? I mean, if it's pick two versus pick three, like how much does it, what's really
okay,
the difference?
Okay, but agents don't do that. Like grown-up agents don't do that.
I feel like we're in a different world, though, don't you? Where now it's like people will use social media as leverage, not before. Like, I'm with you. Let me put it this way. I am with you that he shouldn't be doing that. Do I care enough to say I'm not going to draft him?
Well, that
absolutely
I agree with.
Not.
But yes. If it's a tie, is it a tiebreaker maybe?
I would say this. If you hate it that much, then maybe it is a tiebreaker. But you've got to be looking at the big picture here if you're this team. And you know, you have got to go with the guy you like, the player you like more than anything. Because as we also know, players fire agents all the time. There's no guarantee that he's even around. So if it is an actual tie between Drake May and Jaden Daniels, and they're like, we need to poke holes in every little detail that we possibly can to figure this out, and that's the difference, then that's one hell of a tie right there.
Nick, do you think they trade back into the first round? Talking about your Washington foosball gentleman, to get a tackle or maybe a wide receiver or something like that, but probably mostly tackle.
So I think there's going to be a lot of trades in this draft. I think it's going to be an insane – like I've been more excited about this draft than any NBA or NFL draft that has been on the table in years because of that potential for a lot of different trades that could happen. I do think it's possible because, I mean, if you look at where Washington sits right now, you got the 36th pick and the 40th pick. I mean, you could trade, let's say, maybe both of those, and you move up to a pick in the mid-20s or something along the lines if you have a guy there that you love, that you want to get. The most important positions that you need in the NFL, there is a plethora of talent in this draft. Quarterback, tackle, edge rusher, wide receiver, you got all that stuff there. So I absolutely think that it is a possibility. It really just depends, obviously, on who's on the board. And then some of those teams, let's say, on the back end of the draft, like if Green Bay wants to trade back or, you know, the Bills want to trade back at 28 or the Lions at 29, whatever the case is, there's definitely the possibility there. And listen, I mean, there's going to be always one or two guys that drop, right? I mean, we saw Montez Sweat. They did that years ago. You trade up, you get Montez Sweat, and it worked out fine for him.
Nicholas, thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, our live audience, how about Nick's cell phone holding up today?
Oh, I'm so happy, guys. Thank you. It is the most frustrating thing in the world when we can do all these things with our phones, yet calls drop. It's insane. So I'm glad it all worked out because I hate when I have no idea and all of a sudden I hear you guys go, we got to get rid of him, got to get him off. And I'm like, damn it.
Yeah, we hate that.
For? It's the worst. I know what it's like. I've had it with guests do it too, so I apologize for that, my friend. So then again, a couple times the phones there have screwed me over, so I guess we're even.
Yeah, everything's very even. Don't you worry about a thing. You handsome devil.
Yeah, don't apologize to us. Just come around more and keep smelling nice. You know what I mean?
I will come see you guys on Monday. How about that? I'll pop in the studio.
Thank you, Nick.
Yeah.
There's Nick Ashew on our Beltway Blitz. I want to talk about some of the silly rumors, the hints, so to speak, at what's going to happen in the draft that you actually buy into as we continue on Grant and Danny. Plus, we just asked John Walton the question. You and I should address this next. How should we be viewing this Capitals postseason? Is this as simple as they weren't supposed to be here, so it's house money? Or in a rare final Alex Ovechkin postseason down the stretch, should we be putting together loftier expectations moving forward, maybe? That's next on The Fan.
We'll be right back. Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Caps Rangers on Sunday. Because I didn't expect this team to make the playoffs, and because I am overcome with kind of joy after a year of missing out on the postseason, and 6-8 weeks ago realizing, coming to the conclusion that for the first time since I was in high school, they were going to go two straight years without spring playoff hockey in D.C., I find myself now feeling like this is a house money situation. And you heard Walton when he signed off, voice of the Capitals, here on 106.7, the fans say, like, hey, whatever happens, happens. They're not even supposed to be here. And I do get the sense that, by and large, that's how people feel. I'm just curious if that's how we should feel. Like, that's where I'm at. But at the same time, you did all the work. You got here now. The second season begins, and weird things happen in hockey all the time. Are the Rangers better? Yes. If you play 100 series, should they win 60 of them or something? Of course. But the puck bounce is funny. There's just wackiness. Being the most talented team, even having the most shots, those things don't guarantee you anything.
Right.
So I wonder, and we can open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines, which we don't often do on the hockey or Capitals front, but here we are on the precipice of a postseason, so we'd love to hear from Caps fans. A, how do you feel about this series? Do you think they can hang with the Rangers? And maybe more importantly, B, how are you viewing this? Is this as simple as they're not supposed to be here, anything that happens is a bonus, or do you think we should actually level up and have some expectations now that if they were to lose in 4 or 5 games, that would be a disappointment? Or if they get eliminated in the first round and it's another year removed from the 2018 Cup where they didn't get to the second round, you can kind of add it to the pile. Like, where are you at on that?
Yeah, I'm a house money type dude on this one. When you either come out and say, or through your actions say, we believe we've got a shot to win the whole damn thing, and we believe we're one of the best teams in the NHL, and then you don't, I'll judge you according to that. Right, if you're in the middle of a rebuild, think about what the Nationals, like, if I was mad the Nationals aren't going to win a World Series this year, you'd go, what's the matter with you, crazy? That's not their plan this year. Their plan is to try to get good, and it's going to take a couple of years. So we judge you according to what you think you are, right? So the behavior for so many years under Ron Rivera and company for the Local 53, acting like they're all good, they're right there on the precipice. That was Bruce Allen's big problem for so many years. We're a player away, we're right there. You're not. You're garbage. You're terrible. And you trotted out there thinking that you weren't rebuilding, but you probably should have. This group isn't particularly good. This is where they should have ended up, a fringe playoff team. That's with Kuznetsov giving a damn. That's with Backstrom. That's with Darcy Kemper, who counts over $5 million against their salary cap. That's with TJ Oshie being able to play all the time.
Minus 37 goal differentials mean not only do you not make the playoffs, but you probably don't get that close, right? And that the process of this season was about the future. It had nothing to do with making the playoffs. All the way back, frankly, to before the trade deadline, I would even say.
So,
but they started trying to recoup assets and get draft picks. And when they sold off, I'm talking well after Backstrom walks.
Right.
Well after Kuznetsov takes his respite before they even dealt him. But when they sold off Mantha, that was the big decision.
Mm-hmm.
Kuznetsov to a lesser extent, because even though he makes a ton of money and he's a star name, he was a terrible player on the ice this year, statistically, analytically. And the Canes are going through it now, too, by the way. I was reading a story late last week that he might even get scratched in the playoffs if something major doesn't change here soon, which would be amazing. But point is, I think I'm all in on this house money approach, where there was a path to them making the playoffs at the beginning of the season, if you remember. It was kind of an uphill battle.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there were people who said, I can see it. You know, Ovi's going to go be Ovi. He'll score his 45 goals. Backstrom bounces back, does something no one's ever done before post this hip resurfacing thing.
Mm-hmm.
Kuznetsov, who has been spiraling south, has a renaissance campaign. Maybe Dylan Strome breaks out. Oshie stays healthy, and this team does make the playoffs. They did make the playoffs, but almost none of the other stuff happened.
Right.
None of it.
To me, the time for irritation or frustration. Now, I was in a post-Stanley Cup glow. You couldn't get me to be upset. But previous years when they were built to be a Stanley Cup contender, losing in the first round, those are the,
and
God, that's
all
disappointing.
Of those years, by the way, and fans don't like hearing this stuff, there have been pretty devastating
sure.
blows.
The Oshie injury,
Warren Fogle hitting Oshie, knocking him out of the Carolina series. Willie tore his ACL.
That's right.
Remember, mm-hmm. when they were up against Florida in a series, they missed an empty net with Garnet Hathaway at home. They would have been up 3-1 in that series. Instead, it became 2-2, and they eventually lost to a Florida team that was better all regular season long. So it's not even like they've laid eggs, really. They had the 1 year that stunk in the bubble, but I don't. You know, I really don't count anything about that stupid postseason. But generally, when the fans are there and the atmosphere is hopping at Capital One Arena, they've actually played pretty well.
Yeah,
but
those to me are the times where you go, that's a Stanley Cup contender, or should be, that, or they were designed to be, built to be. That failed.
And
okay.
I can look in the granular, like 10,000 foot, as I call it, the helicopter view, and say since the Cup in 2018 run, you have not gotten out of round one, and it's 2024. In this window with Ovi scoring all the goals and having some healthy Backstrom seasons there and Kuznetsov and Oshie and Wilson and the core being together, Carlson as a linchpin, like, that's not good enough. You should have at some point. That is overall over a 6-year span of failure, but that's why they've had coaches like Reardon come and go. That was, to me, a giant waste of time. Whether it's Laviolette, like, they're on to their third coach. It's not like they're not trying to figure it out and haven't made some moves. But I just think because 8 of the guys on the team right now were Calder Cup champions with Hershey last year, because you're having your cake and eating it too, you're getting unbelievable experience for Connor McMichael, Alexi Protas, Hendrix LaPierre, you know, Sonny Milano's not a kid, but I would throw him into that conversation, Beck Malenstein, maybe even Vincent Iorio, and Alexander Alexiev was playing huge minutes. This is a huge win. Figuratively.
That's how I feel
already.
About it. Honestly. I mean, I keep going back to this. The time to be annoyed was that they wasted 2 years with Todd Reardon and not giving Barry Trotz a new deal. The time to be annoyed was that Laviolette wouldn't play any of these kids last year, right? Maybe because it was an organizational thing. Maybe it was Laviolette decision. I don't know, but that wasn't working. This group with, again, a backup goalie that was never the plan. He turned into flipping Dominic Hasek down the stretch. He's pulling wins out of his tuchus. He's shutting people out to the tune of more than anybody else in the stupid league. It's Ovechkin went from 8 goals through the halfway mark to well over 30 again. Like, this is fun. This is ridiculous. I'm enjoying it.
Let's go to Kevin in Arlington. Kevin, are you all in on the house money feel for the Capitals, or do you now have expectations?
Absolutely, house money. And just give me a minute to add a few things to what you've already said. Now, if you go back over these 6 years, you already mentioned the, you know, injury to Oshie, et cetera. We should have never let – I mean, letting Trotz go is, to me, almost like letting Joe Gibbs go in his prime, okay? That was a disaster. Then when Laviolette got here, we didn't have goaltending. And after 2 years, they finally said, you know what, we don't. And then they go and get Kemper, and they go and get Lindgren. And they're both solid goaltenders. Kemper's been off this year, but – a lot of people saw Lindgren as, you know what, he's a late bloomer. And look how many late bloomers, look how many guys that the Capitals have reclaimed and turned into tremendous players. I mean, it's incredible how many reclamation projects Mac and company have excelled with. Now, look at this. As you mentioned, the 8 or so Hershey Bears. You know, I go back to the June of the Cup win, and we're there draft night, and we get Alexiev in round one, and we get Ferravari in round two, and now they're two stalwarts. And so what I'm saying is, this is a storied franchise. Yes, they've had terrible postseason luck, save 1 year.
You know what they've
but
done,
they
Kev, too?
They have
rebuilt on the fly.
Which is really hard to do.
They have draft capital.
Yeah,
and they
ton
are
of
ready
it.
To... Yeah, I mean,
I'd have to look up the number. Appreciate the call.
Thanks, Kev.
Sorry to cut you off. I think it's like close to 24 picks or something in the next few years in the draft. I mean, they loaded up with draft picks. I was getting screamed at all fall long by, you know, people that probably don't even watch the games but love to give you their take on how stupid everything they're doing is and about how you've got to rebuild and you can't chase the Ovechkin, you know, goal record and whatever else, right? And my point is, they have landed the plane on this very narrow, thin runway that I didn't even think was possible of rebuilding while still making the playoffs and having a shot and while appeasing Ovechkin and some of the core, the veterans. I don't know if Oshie's back next year or not. My guess is he probably will be because he's under contract and you're going to have to, you know, scoop him off the ice with a shovel or something. The guy loves hockey. But it's going to be a very different looking team next year. They're going to actually have money to spend. They're going to be able to add firepower. And a lot of the kids they're indoctrinating this season are bottom six core legitimate contributors. So they're going to be a lot better next year. Now, I'll say this. If next year they don't make the playoffs or, you know, they go into the playoffs as an 8 seed and lose in 5 games, I think reasonably people should be upset by that. But it's year one with Carberry in a rebuild season, whether they wanted to voice it that way or not. And I think whatever happens the rest of the way is icing on what is already a delicious cake.
Try to draw one more quick analogy. Imagine the Nationals made the playoffs in 2021. That's what this is. When all the veterans, or some of them at least, from the World Series team a couple years ago are still there, and they're not playing that great, and they trade at the deadline, and then kids come up from AAA, and they go to the postseason. It's not apples to apples because of the nature of the sports, and there's fewer teams in baseball, but that's what this group is like. So it's house money to me.
What are you expecting from the Caps against the Rangers? If you want to hop in on that, you can. 800-636-1067. I also want to get back into the draft, and if there's any of these silly rumors or potential hints at what the Commanders are going to do that you're actually buying. Now let's go on out with Talladega, a country song I don't know, but this is the Caps victory anthem that they sing in the dressing room after all their big wins now.
Rockin' Randall, gettin' rowdy, shootin' Roman candles at the man in the moon, till the Alabama sun was breaking. Over Talladega, the boys raised it, a whiskey in your glass, a here's to turn it up, a slowin' down, because it goes real fast.
Sunday at 3, Madison Square Garden, the house that Tom Wilson infuriated. Welcome back, G&D on the Fan. If they could take one of those first two games on the road, you steal home ice, you come back home, all of a sudden you can mess around and have a little series lead getting into the late stages.
I'd love to be one of them game one wins, just to stun everybody. All the New York people just puckering a little bit, getting a little bit tight. Sports radio for the first time up there addressing the fact they actually have a hockey team. I would love that experience.
We're going to get into our countdown to the NFL draft and the Commanders making the number two pick in about 3 minutes right here on Grant and Danny coming your way this segment. But let's put a bow on our Caps convo. Chris has been waiting in Woodbridge. Chris, thanks for the call, bro. What's up?
Hey, guys. First time caller, long time listener. I'm just super happy to be talking about the Caps, honestly.
Just like you drew it up, man. Hey, calling baby in before a playoff game in April, right? You saw that coming.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I definitely saw that coming. No, nobody saw this coming. I think we're playing with house money. It feels good. The boys are rolling. They want this. They're having fun. And that brings a lot of energy to the ice. And I think one thing that you took my answer a little bit here. We're rolling with a brand new coach, not a new to us coach, brand new coach, a lot of kids from Hershey. Half of our veterans are not on the ice half the year, but you can't count Ovi out in a meaningful game. I think Strom's gonna have a real, real good series. I think McMichael's got a chip on his shoulder with LaViolette. I think there's a lot of signs pointing to this could very well come with an upset. I don't think it's going to happen in like 4 or 5 games. I think it might go 6 or 7, but I think we're going to get real close, if not take it.
Appreciate it, Chris. Thank you. That Talladega song we went out with, JP Finley from Middays with B. Mitch and Finley texted me and said, dude, you need to know Talladega, Eric Church catalog. You'll dig that. I had never heard of that song until they were singing it in the locker room the other night. And I get in like with the Nats and Colma. If you remember Colma.
Of course I do, yeah.
Let me hear that again.
About a Brian Dozier shirtless dropping it. Yeah.
I haven't heard it in about 5 years. Like think about it, Victor Robles dancing to it. But with any kind of those victory anthem, good vibe, emotions are high songs, they just become playlists for me every single day. So as I'm ramping up to the Caps postseason game, I've been listening to this song every morning on my way into work, among other things, Talladega with Eric Church. And I'm not a country music guy. I got to be honest with you. I think it's just because I've seen all my favorite Capitals singing it in the locker room.
It's like Nick Dowd singing it. You're like, I'm in.
Nick Dowd was belting it out. By the way, he is an Alabama native. Remember Colma?
Yeah, oh yeah.
2019 World Series.
I haven't listened to it since.
Same. But Colma was the soundtrack to the run. I hope they got to be playing this over the speakers. And you're going to hear this a few times this weekend at the 5-year anniversary show, right?
You would think.
You got to skip ahead a little ways here, Darius. Get this thing going. There we go. Who do you think of?
Brian Dozier. With no shirt on, whipping it around his head.
Yeah.
Like he's at one of those kinds of nightclubs with poles. You know the ones I'm talking about?
I'm familiar.
You know those?
It's got to be natural, though. You can't just pick a song. Like, the players talk about it or start singing it, and somehow it becomes their thing in the locker room. And next thing you know, it becomes the anthem.
Mm-hmm.
But Talladega by Eric Church, which I had to look up after. I'm like, what song is this that they're singing? Shazam wouldn't tell me. I'm Googling lyrics. And I finally found it. It is time for our draft countdown to continue. 10 questions in 10 days. We are now 6 days away from the start of the NFL draft. I actually think this will be fun. That's going to be up to you guys, though. But I do like this topic a lot. There have been 50 stories that probably mean nothing throughout this draft process. Little things that get reported and floated, they're noise. And it's a lot of mostly nonsense that doesn't actually mean anything. You're looking for meaning in everything. Of all of the silly rumors, of all of the potential hints that you've seen as to what's going to happen, and why? Some rumor that somebody's buddy told them that Adam Peters had a 5th-round grade on Jaden Daniels. Or some rumor that J.J. McCarthy is best friends with a guy who's a babysitter for Lance Newmark's child. I'm making that up. But some dumb rumor out there. What's the one that you give the most credence to? I think this will be fun. Like, what is the dumb rumor that is probably an absolute nothing burger that you believe enough that you would say that's the one I will allow to influence my opinion? I'll give you my answer.
Go.
I was slapping everything away that you guys were coming at me with. You're tagging me in stories. Did you see what this guy wrote? Did you see this? Adam Peters supposedly went to UNC for 3 private workouts with Drake May from this aggregate account that doesn't have a credential and I've never heard of. And I am just Dikembe Mutombo wagging my finger. Blocking your story, blocking your shot, blocking your idea, telling you this means nothing. But there is one stupid, very likely, absolute nothing burger story that I couldn't shake from my head. There's one, Danny, that I keep coming back to, and I can't tell myself how to think. Your brain, it's mysterious. It works on its own.
Right.
Dan Quinn and Adam Peters picked Jaden Daniels up from the airport. And they didn't pick up Drake May. And they didn't pick up J.J. McCarthy. They hopped in a Ford Fiesta with a baby in the back.
Ford Festiva.
A Ford Festiva with a baby in the back. You ever take an Uber? Huh? You getting a Ford Fiesta? Is it a... It's not a Fiesta?
I think it's a Festiva, okay. But maybe it's a Fiesta.
But the dude's point know anymore. Is they went and they picked up Jaden Daniels, man. And that's the one that has broken through my... firewall. I put up a you know,
you got a moat, you got a portcullis, yeah, you got parapets,
my dome to protect all the terrible takes, and the one that penetrated it and got through that, I don't know why, I just can't convince myself means nothing. You had enough time to find your way over to Dulles to get Jaden Daniels, not the other guys. What is that story for you? I'm gonna get yours next. And I want to hear from people. 800-636-1067. Story that probably doesn't mean anything, that you keep finding yourself thinking might mean something on this draft. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.